Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
Welcome into the Inside Carolina podcast presented to you by Giant T-Shirt and GiantT-Shirt.com. This is a UNC football recruiting podcast with the esteemed Don Callahan. Don, what's up, man? It's been a while. Been 2 weeks off. What's going on?
A lot has happened the last 2 weeks. Where did you go? You went to like Portland or something?
Trip? I was in Seattle. For about a week, and actually I worked a lot from there, but I also took a little time off.
Well, that's kind of the nature of our business is, you know, I was on vacation myself all last week, and every single morning I worked. You in Seattle?
One of my best friends lives there, and you know, just toured the city, and then on the weekend we went off to one of the islands kind of close to Canada, and there was a hot tub that was heated by a wood stove overlooking the water. We put salt water in. That was cool. And other than that, kind of just worked and did different day trips around Seattle.
Gotcha.
And
gotcha.
You went to Cleveland. How was that?
That was awesome. I know every time I told someone I was going on vacation to Cleveland, they were like kind of looked at me funny. But to be honest, I mean, it was probably one of the better vacation as a whole that we went on. We wanted to do something different. Oh, we've done Myrtle Beach 1,000 times. We've done the beaches in North Carolina 1,000 times. So I wanted to do something a little different to the, you know, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Went to Cedar Point, was actually a really good amusement park. Supposedly it has like the second most roller coasters. Went to the Christmas Story House, which was probably one of the highlights of it.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you would think it's like not that cool because it's just a house, but like the whole thing, they, you know, they really, really did it up. And I think they said 13% of the Christmas Story movie was actually filmed there. So
like a museum or what?
It's the actual house that they used, and then across the street is a museum with a lot of the different, I guess, parts of the movie. And the cool thing, I didn't know this, was when the movie actually initially came out, it was a complete dud. It was actually probably a dud for almost 10 years. So a lot of the stuff from the movie was actually tossed out, like the leg lamp, the original leg lamp. I think they said there were six of them, something like that, but they were all destroyed because of the fact that they thought the movie was just a hunk of junk. And so there's no leg lamp. There's no actual leg lamp. Someone says they have it. They're lying to you. But yeah, the trip was fun. You went to Lake Erie, which was really kind of cool. It was just a different experience for us. And my kids enjoyed it too. And like I said, every morning woke up. Fortunately for me, my wife likes to sleep in. So I ended up getting like 2-3 hours worth of work done before she even got up out of bed. So which worked really well for me. So, but it was good, but it's good to kind of get back home and get back to the grind and, you know, first day officially back to work, headed to, your old stomping grounds, Greensboro, to cover, Miles Murphy's announcement, which I'm sure you want to get into at some point.
Yeah, yeah. We don't want to talk about Christmas Story too much. You do seem like a Myrtle Beach kind of guy, but so that makes sense there. But we are going to dive into the topics that we're discussing today. We're going to start with what Don previewed, the Miles Murphy commitment on Monday. We're recording on Tuesday morning. 4-star defensive tackle from Dudley committed to UNC. He's the highest ranked recruit currently in UNC's 2020 class. We'll go all into that. We're going to talk about the Malik Hornsby decommitment from UNC, which happened when I was in Seattle. Obviously, he was the highest ranked guy in UNC's class, decommitted. Being the quarterback position obviously changes some things for UNC. And we'll talk about how we had a big podcast after that that kind of previewed or you know, inferred.
That was our first podcast together.
Yeah, and we got a lot of flack for talking a lot about how strong his commitment was, and what, 2 months later he decommits, less than 2 months later he decommits from UNC, leaving the Tar Heels with only one quarterback commit in the 2020 class. And then we'll close with the four commitments, I guess only three commitments that happened during the last 2 weeks. Rucker, I don't know how you say his first name,
Kamen
Rucker, DJ Jones running back, and Clyde Pender. Of course, Miles Murphy, which we touched on in the first segment. So let's jump right in.
Miles Murphy. We also have a top five.
Yeah, so the big top five, breaking down all of UNC's defensive tackle targets. Hopefully some guys sent some submissions and looked at some tape, as we did as well. So we'll give you those before diving into a new top five for next week. And then I go on vacation again. I'm going to Europe.
But let's vacations.
We got to get them in the summer, because once football season and basketball season starts, there's no time. All right, you were there, Don, at Dudley yesterday at 3 p.m. Miles Murphy committed to UNC over a bunch of offers, South Carolina, Florida, Alabama, among others. Kind of break down the scene for us since you were there, and then we'll dive into what that means for UNC and his game and South Carolina fans and all that good stuff.
All right, with the scene was...
Yeah, I mean, what was it? Paint the picture for us.
I got you. All right. Super, super hot. And the reason being is that the air conditioning at Dudley High School actually broke last week, but nobody knew because nobody was at the school last week until they came to the school this morning. So they brought some fans in to try to alleviate the heat, but you know, it helped a little bit, but you guys know how it is. I mean, it's summertime in North Carolina, and it's July, which I think is the hottest month of the year. Fans aren't going to help you too much. So yes, it was hot. Everybody's sweaty. You know, pretty mild sort of situation. I mean, Miles isn't a very extravagant guy. He, you know, his principal spoke, his defensive coordinator spoke because his head coach was, had to leave the town for a family emergency situation. His mom spoke, and I really liked a lot of the things that she shared. His aunt spoke, and then Miles was pretty quick with it. You know, thanked a couple people and grabbed the hat, put the hat on, and then his mom and his aunt took off their jackets and had UNC shirts on, and that was pretty it. There was a lot of media there for him. The South Carolina guys stuck around because as anybody who's been following it knows, they felt very strongly that they were going to get that the South Carolina was going to get him. The interesting thing to me, though, is when I go to a press conference, one of the misnomers is everyone assumes that once I'm going to a press conference, North Carolina is going to get the guy. That's not the case. I only don't go if I know with 100% certainty North Carolina is not going to get him. But there have definitely been times where I've gone where I didn't know what was going to happen. But anyway, if I go to a press conference and a kid does not pick North Carolina, I grab my stuff as quickly as possible and hightail it out of there, jump in the car and head home. But the South Carolina guys kind of hung around, which I thought was pretty surprising, and asked them a bunch of questions and all that. Miles Murphy was there. Peyton Page was there. All of Dudley's obviously Miles Murphy's there. Michael Wyman is the name I wanted to say. Michael Wyman was there, who's committed to South Carolina. Peyton Page, a five-star defensive tackle who we've talked about a bunch, was there. All of his teammates. So, yeah, so that's the scene. Bunch of football players, all hot and sweaty, family members, media members, all that.
So how many different South Carolina outlets were there? Was Big Spur there?
Yes, Big Spur was there. They sent like two people. The Rivals South Carolina site was there. They sent at least, I think they also sent two people. There was a couple of South Carolina newspaper sites. I mean, you know, football, high school football and college football and football recruiting is just, it's, I don't know what the word I want to use, but it's just a lot more, I don't know. It's covered a lot more heavily. I guess the average person is much more interested in it than the average person in North Carolina. So, you know, the newspapers are really, really, really involved in all that sort of stuff. And all those guys stuck around. I guess if you're going to make that long of a trip, you want to at least get something out of it. Yeah, like I said, I mean, if it were me, I would have made a post. He didn't pick North Carolina and just got out of there and went home and focused on something else.
How far have you driven for a commitment announcement that did not go UNC's way?
I didn't drive, but I flew. And this Jeez. Is, I think this is before your time. Do you remember Arthur Brown?
No.
All right. So this was back when Butch Davis was head coach, and John Blake, who's an infamous name that we probably shouldn't be speaking of, was recruiting Arthur Brown, who was the top player in the nation at that time. He was a linebacker out of Wichita, Kansas. Okay, so this was going to be a big deal if North Carolina would have landed him. He ended up committing to Miami, And so I spent, because of the whole flight situation and everything, I think I came a couple days earlier. There's also some snow that we were trying to avoid. And I was going to, my initial plan was to stay the next full day after the announcement and then fly out the day after that. But once the reason why was that I was going to do we had to set up to where I'd do a full video feature and interviews with all these, you know, family members, coaches, all that sort of stuff. Get as much bang for a buck. But as soon as he picked Miami, I just got my stuff, got back to my hotel as quickly as possible, start calling the airport to try to see if I can get my flight moved up. I was able to, So that's the furthest. I don't know how driving distance it was, but it was definitely far.
Jeez. And I remember going to Zamir White's recruitment, but I actually covered that for 24/7 Sports. So I did stuff there for the Georgia site. Good stuff. So it seemed like, you know, he was leaning towards South Carolina, and a big reason why the South Carolina media was there. What do you think kind of changed his mind? I know you wrote about it and he spoke about it in the interviews, but can you kind of put that together for us about why?
Yeah. Just kind of putting all the pieces of the puzzle together and talking to the South Carolina guys, who those guys, I haven't seen a whole lot of it, but it's easy to kind of blame those guys for being homers or this and that. But those guys really worked their butts off, and I could have easily been the one that been wrong with this whole situation. But from what talking to those guys, talking to my sources, talking to Miles Murphy, talking to his mom, talking to his coaches, all that sort of stuff, it seemed like South Carolina was the school for probably 6 months, to be honest with you, was the leader, was set to commit and all that sort of stuff, and then basically committed to South Carolina during his official visit. And for those who don't know the way that his official visit was, he took his first official visit was to South Carolina in, it was May 31st, but basically it was in June. And then he took official visit consecutively to Florida, Alabama, and then North Carolina got the last one. Coming out of his South Carolina official visit, which was the one that he nearly or basically committed to South Carolina, he actually told everybody around that he was only going to take a couple more official visits and North Carolina was not going to be one of them. People I'm sure remember now that there was a lot of, blowback from that, with UNC fans getting pretty irate that he wasn't going to take that official visit. Now, credit guys like Lonnie Galloway and Tim Cross and Jay Bateman for really kind of getting involved and talking him into taking that official visit to North Carolina, because without it, he doesn't end up a Tar Heel. And so what ended up happening was, and I think really also what helped was the fact that he went to, I believe it was Florida, was the next weekend, and he went there and he was like, wow, okay, all official visits are this awesome. Because I think some of his feelings, I mean, obviously he liked South Carolina, but when you take your first official visit, you're like, holy crap, this is awesome. I mean, I'm eating all the time. I'm getting the red carpet treatment. We're going out on parties. We're doing all this crazy stuff. It's freaking awesome. And then when you go, and you think on your first official visit that it's just that school, but then when you go to the next one, you're like, oh, this is how it is at all these official visits. So I think that kind of helped him realize, okay, I need to take all my official visits before I make a decision. So then he goes and takes his official visit to North Carolina, and that's where the flip basically happened. And that's where he essentially said, okay, North Carolina is where I want to be. This is where I feel comfortable. He also connected with a lot of the other commits at North Carolina, with the coaches. He spoke a lot about his relationship with the coaches. And so now, even though he basically in his mind was like, okay, North Carolina is where I want to be, he didn't officially make the decision until the night before the announcement, which is what he talks about in the Q&A that we posted.
Yeah, tons of great premium content on Inside Carolina right now. He mentioned Clyde Pender as a big influence in his recruitment. Obviously, being an hour away from school had to have an impact. Is there anything else that you gleaned from interviews as to, you know, what made UNC kind of pull ahead in what seems like almost a last minute kind of up to the wire decision? Because it seems like he was kind of all in and maybe even had been a silent commit to South Carolina.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I wouldn't argue with anyone if they told me that he had committed to South Carolina and said, hey, don't put this out publicly, but I want to continue to take my visits. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. But I think guys like Pinder and some of the other commits really played a major role in helping kind of put this on the tracks. I don't think he was getting the same sort of attention from South Carolina's commits, other than maybe Michael Wyman. But even with Michael Wyman, super nice kid, very personable, but he's not the type that's going to continually pressure you, you know? And at some point, you know, he's one of your friends. So you kind of just kind of lay off a little bit and kind of let him do his own thing, you know? But the one thing I do want to mention about our coverage is that for those who weren't on Inside Carolina yesterday, we had a live stream up for the entire announcement. So, I mean, that's something that, it's going to depend on just the environment that we're walking into, but doing the live stream is something that we want to do for every live announcement that we're covering. But again, there are circumstances and variables out of our control that are going to dictate whether we do that or not. So I don't want to guarantee that, but definitely something that to look forward to in the future. And we're never going to announce it ahead of time just because we don't know the situation. I mean, even with the situation at Dudley, you know, we were told there's internet there, it works really well, and then we get there and they couldn't get me on the internet initially. So luckily, I don't know who it was, someone there in administration, they opened up or a hotspot or something that worked really, really well. But I mean, if that guy wasn't there, then we wouldn't have had a live stream. So that's the situation that we're kind of dealing with this, with high schools, and you have to worry about dead spots and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, definitely something to look forward to, but we won't guarantee it for every single one.
Good stuff. Hotspots are key. I've written many an article and worked and posted stuff on Twitter and Facebook from hotspots and all across the United States. Okay. Finally, to wrap up this Miles Murphy talk, tell us what UNC is getting with this guy. What he brings and how you see him fitting into UNC's defense as a player.
Well, I think he'll play that 4-eye position. I know that he's losing weight.
Can you explain that 4-eye spot?
Okay, so with the three down linemen, you have the nose tackle, which I think most people who follow football understand, the guy who's head up on the center, and then you have the two ends who are basically kind of hybrid end / defensive tackles, if you're kind of comparing them to like a 4-3, which I think most people are more familiar with. And those guys are with a 4-eye in Bateman's defense, and he doesn't just use a 4-eye, he uses some threes, and he uses also some just regular fours and even some twos. But anyway, the 4-eye lines up over the tackle, but on the inside shoulder of the tackles, and there are two of them on each side. So those are guys who really, I guess, to put it in the simplest terms, they're kind of hybrid tackle / ends, and he fits this perfectly because I guess the strong side end is probably the best way to put it. You know, he has the power to hold up against the run, but also he has some pass rush ability and explosiveness to get into the backfield on passing downs. So that's where he fits. And I basically kind of gave a description of I guess his evaluation. But he's a guy that, you know, for those who followed my top 50 in state, I ranked him 7th overall. But just purely on film, I could have easily put him at 3rd or maybe even higher than that. But the reason why I was so hesitant was because a lot of the off-the-field stuff I was a little bit worried about. But after talking to Dudley's coaches yesterday, I feel a lot more comfortable. We actually posted a story today that goes in-depth about some of those off-the-field concerns and just how he's on track with those situations. And So I'm a lot more comfortable, and I probably, if I were to do my top 50 now, he definitely would be higher than seventh. Probably, he probably would be number three, at least number four in my top 50 in North Carolina.
And so he played 3 years at Southwest Guilford before transferring to Dudley?
Yeah, well, he was a student at Southwest for 3 years. He didn't play, I believe it was his freshman year, okay, because of some disciplinary issues. But yeah, so he played those 2 years, and then he transferred to Dudley this offseason because of the academic situation. And then also Southwest changed coaches, and he really kind of needed – He really needed a situation like Dudley, where Coach Stephen Davis, for those who know him, I mean, he does an unbelievable job of being basically an extra father to a lot of those kids, keeping those kids in line, doesn't take any crap from any of them, make sure that they stay out of trouble, that they're always busy with football stuff, does a really good job. And that's what Miles needs, someone who's going to stay on his ass, make sure he's doing the stuff he needs to do in the classroom and off the field. And Miles is not a bad kid. I don't want to say that at all. I think that he just needed someone to kind of be like, all right, yes, you're a really good player. But at Dudley, really good players don't play if they don't do what they need to do. Other schools, when you have a player like this, you play regardless of what you do off the field, just because you're so good, the team does not win without you. At Dudley, Dudley will win without Miles Murphy. Now, Miles Murphy might make the difference in making the semifinals or making, you know, winning a championship at Dudley, but Dudley will win without Miles Murphy.
And Dudley in East Greensboro, definitely a school that has a lot of football talent over the years, and basketball talent, especially for UNC. Do you remember the last Dudley player that committed to UNC?
Ooh, last Dudley player committed to UNC. That's a good question. They have so many players in North Carolina's recruited.
You were there. I was there for the commitment.
Oh, DJ Crossan.
You know what's happened to him since?
Yeah, I don't know if we should go into detail about what has happened to him since. Well, he flipped to Virginia Tech and ended up in the transfer portal for reasons that if you want to get into it, I'll let you get into it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just public news. He got arrested for releasing a video, a sex video of a woman without her permission.
It was revenge sex, right?
I don't know about that. I just know he's going to be serving some jail time. All right, that's our DJ Crossan segment for the day. Anything else on Miles Murphy before we wrap this part of the podcast up?
No, I think we've talked a lot about Miles Murphy.
Yeah, great, great, great for UNC. I tweeted out shortly after he committed. I mean, this is a Greensboro kid. UNC needs to get the best players out of Greensboro, the number 5 player in the state, number 117th player in the nation, 4-star guy. He's probably one of the top players in UNC's 2020 class. So UNC will certainly, I mean, it's going to be hard to keep him as well. I mean, I think he's a guy that schools will keep recruiting, especially South Carolina, but certainly a big get for the Tar Heels. We're now going to talk about our sponsor, Johnny T-Shirt and GiantT-Shirt.com. They are your spot for all your Tar Heel apparel needs. They're on Franklin Street and online. It's been a Chapel Hill tradition for over 35 years. They're locally owned and alumni owned. They focus only on UNC. They have the best customer service. It's a great place to visit on game days or anytime you're in Chapel Hill. Remember that all Inside Carolina subscribers get 10% off using the code available on our premium message boards. You know, any holidays coming up, getting ready for the season, football and basketball, stop at GiantT-Shirt.com and get your stuff there. I mean, when you support them, you're supporting us, and it allows us to do these podcasts, provide you with great content like we do. So check out GiantT-Shirt.com right on Franklin Street and GiantT-Shirt.com online. All right, next up is the Malik Hornsberry decommitment, Don. That happened, I guess, 2 weeks ago. I was in Seattle. You had the article up right when it happened. We somewhat predicted this when he committed. It just seemed, you know, such a talented guy from Texas. Obviously, there are going to be other suitors. What insight do you have as to why he decommitted? I think that's maybe a question a lot of people have.
I don't really have a whole lot, to be honest. And a lot of that is just because he's such a quiet kid who doesn't really say a whole lot. He doesn't make himself available for very many interviews. Anytime I interviewed him, it took a work of God to help me to get him. Fortunately, things always worked out for me to actually get him. But you know, once a kid decommits, I kind of just let it go. He decommitted, we reported it, and kind of move on. But I mean, obviously, I mean, we talked about this in our very first podcast where, you know, the two items that make a kid difficult to kind of hold on to, a commitment to hold on to, is one, their proximity from North Carolina. That wasn't working in North Carolina's favor. He's in Texas. Okay. So, which meant that official visits is the only way you can guarantee to get him on campus, because it's going to be difficult otherwise. He ended up making another visit because his track team was in Greensboro for a track meet, a national track meet. And that worked out for North Carolina, got him on campus twice because of that. But that doesn't normally happen. Usually someone has to pay, you know, fork out a lot of money for flying and everything like that. The other item is, you know, how high is that recruit rated? How coveted is he? And Hornsby was, you know, definitely Florida State is a school that really likes him. He's flirted a little bit with Texas A&M, although Texas A&M, I think, is kind of moving on to another quarterback. There's a bunch of other schools who have been really interested in him and aren't going to stop recruiting him just because he's committed to North Carolina. And so you had those two items working against UNC. And also, I felt like he always liked North Carolina. Well, I felt like he always liked Tim Brewster.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult to, if you're that far away, to commit to an assistant coach. I don't know what Tim Brewster's future holds, but, you know, if you just look at assistant coaches' track records in general, I mean, I think it's on average they end up staying someplace 2 years. I mean, that, so you can't commit to a school because of an assistant coach. So I just never felt like he was all in on North Carolina at all.
Yeah, and I thought it was odd. You mentioned that he visited UNC twice because of that track meet. I mean, obviously that shows interest. You're going to go out of your way when you're in the state to come to UNC twice, and then a week or two later he decommitted. I think UNC is still in a good spot with Jacoby Criswell. I know you really like Criswell. Is UNC going to stick with just one quarterback commitment for this class?
Yeah. And one other thing I failed to mention, but yeah, to answer your question, I think North Carolina's going to stick with just one quarterback for this class. But I don't think it's a coincidence that his close friend, his track teammate, his football teammate, Devon Chang, officially visited North Carolina the weekend prior to Hornsby's decommitment. I just don't think that's a coincidence. Part of me kind of is like, all right, yeah, I'm kind of curious on why, you know, that timing. Part of me is like, I have plenty of other things to kind of worry about. But I just don't think that timing is just a pure coincidence.
So they're not gonna go after anybody else.
Quarterback-wise?
Yeah.
I don't expect it. I mean, you know, if all of a sudden North Carolina has like three quarterbacks, you know, transfer,
yeah,
you know, in December, then things change. But as of right now, the way things sit right now, I don't anticipate North Carolina taking another quarterback. I mean, I think that they took Criswell with the idea that Hornsby was not a lock to stay as part of that class.
For sure. And you have three freshmen on the roster right now, two redshirt freshmen, one true freshman. You're bringing another one. So you have four on the roster for the 2020 season. If everybody stays, and that's kind of what you want. So take another one in 2021. All right, great. Anything else on the decommitment with Malik Hornsby?
No, I'm sure we're just going to get a lot more heat for the longer that we talk about this.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break and be right back and talk about the other commitments to UNC.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we are back to wrap up this podcast. We have the top five coming up soon. But first, we want to talk about the other commitments that happened the last 2 weeks. We already talked about Miles Murphy in depth, but we also, UNC also had Rucker commit. Say his first name again.
Cayman. Like the Cayman Islands. Cayman Island.
Rucker out of Georgia, I believe. Let's see here.
Yes.
Yeah, Georgia. He's a ranked as a defensive end, 6'1", 243. Not super highly ranked, at number 81, strong side defensive end out of Georgia. The other guy, DJ Jones, running back, and Kyle Pender, defensive tackle out of Florida. Pretty big commit, number 38 defensive tackle, number 66 player in Florida. Let's start. We'll go briefly through these. Start with Cayman Rucker. What can you tell us about him as a player, Don, and what he brings to this class? We'll kind of breeze through these.
Yeah, I mean, he's an explosive guy. A lot of people initially looked at him as a defensive lineman, and that's what I think he's listed as on most of the recruiting websites. And that's actually where he worked out at North Carolina for the most part when he came to the Showtime camp. UNC wants to use him as a linebacker, though, and really the Showtime camp was kind of his chance to prove he deserved a North Carolina offer, and that's exactly what he did. He received the offer at the Showtime camp, and then I think it was definitely less than a week, probably like 5 days later, after speaking with his parents for a few days, he committed to North Carolina.
Good stuff. I watched his tape. We'll get to this more, but pretty impressive guy. And you think someone who could potentially move into the linebacker spot?
Yeah, I mean, that's what North Carolina wants out of him. And I think really, if you look at his scholarship offer list, it's not all that impressive. And I think some of that is that a lot of schools looked at him and they felt like he was a tweener because he's listed as 6'1 and 243 pounds. So, but he played defensive line and was always coming off the line, you know, coming off that edge. But North Carolina looks at him and says, okay, he's not a tweener to us. He's a linebacker. He's exactly what we want within the defense, which is, as we talked about a bunch, you know, and as Jason's been doing with his video analysis pieces, just how you're the versatile pieces within Jay Bateman's defense, and Rucker kind of fits that perfectly. And I think Bateman will definitely be able to take advantage of his skill set because he has tons of skills. He's super explosive, you know, a reliable tackler. It's just you look at the 6'1", and you're like, all right, well, he's not a defensive end. And he doesn't have a whole lot of experience dropping into coverage. And, you know, is he fast enough for linebacker? But Jay Bateman will figure out how to use that weapon.
Good stuff. Next guy is DJ Jones, running back out of Fayetteville, Pine Forest High School, 5'11", 190, ranked as the number 40 running back in the nation, number 15 player in North Carolina. He is UNC's second running back commitment for the 2020 class, joining Elijah Burris, who I think was the first commitment in this class out of Mount Holly, North Carolina. What can you tell us about DJ Jones, in-state guy who pulled the trigger for UNC?
Well, I love DJ Jones. I ranked him in the top 50 of North Carolina at number 11, and I really kind of struggled. I wanted to put him in the top 10, probably could have put him at 10 over Kendall Carr, to be honest with you. But, I mean, he's a multifaceted running back, just can do so many different things. He can run between the tackles. He can run outside. You can throw him the ball. He's a well put together kid, can take the abuse. He's definitely a guy who, he's a three down running back for sure. He could do so many different things with him. I think there's a reason why a couple of Big Ten schools, including Michigan, really liked him. You know, when I think of good running back producing conference, I think of the Big Ten, just because, you know, I guess the three Clars, yeah, Wisconsin, three yards in a cloud of dust sort of mentality. You know, Michigan's definitely, you know, pretty good with the running backs. So when schools like that are looking at a kid, at a running back, I always feel a little bit more comfortable with a positive evaluation of him. And that's DJ Jones. I mean, he's could do so many different things. I think he's very underrated, to be honest.
Now, do you think, was he a take at that moment from Michigan?
From everything that I have gathered, and I'll be the first to admit, I don't have the greatest Michigan contacts just because that's not a school that North Carolina recruits against very often. But from what I was told was that he was definitely a take, but there were other running backs ahead of him. Now, what that usually means is that when he went on his official visit, they weren't pressuring him to commit, and they weren't, you know, their goal probably wasn't to come out of the weekend with his commitment. Now, if he would have attempted to commit, they probably would have took it. But I think North Carolina was definitely applying much more pressure on him than Michigan.
Great. And what do you think about Elijah Burris as a player? Obviously, he committed with the previous class, and they've respected that commitment. What's your analysis of him as a player?
You know, I kind of struggle with him, to be honest, when I'm looking at him. Now, you know, he definitely is very, very, very productive. But the coach over there, Coach Robert Washington, who I've known for a very long time, great guy. He does a really good job with his running backs and putting his running backs in the best situation possible to really kind of pile up the yards. And you know, and it's not just a you know, giving them the ball 50 times a game. He just is really good with scheme and all that sort of stuff. So his running backs have always put up the numbers, and Burris really has taken it to another level, to be completely honest. You know, the competition he's playing against isn't very good, so that makes it also kind of difficult to evaluate him. He doesn't test very well. I was at the Shrine Bowl combine he was at, and his numbers weren't all that impressive. But like I said, he's very productive. And I was really impressed with him at the Showtime camp with his ability to catch the ball, and is also his ability to create separation from linebackers. So I like that. I want to see more from Elijah for sure. I'm not all that high on him, but I do want to see more. I am open-minded to kind of see what he can do his senior season. And I would love to see him in different sort of environments. I would love to have seen him at like a Nike camp or something like that, but he chose not to participate. I hope he makes the Shrine Bowl, because that'd be a great opportunity to kind of evaluate him against players of similar talent.
There you have it. And the last one, Clyde Pender. Love the name. Clyde's just an old school name. You don't see that.
You're gonna name your first child Clyde, you told me.
It's just a feel like it's a name from the 1920s. Clyde Pender out of Florida, Sefner, Florida, Armwood High School, ranked as number 38 defensive tackle, number 66 player in the Sunshine State, and the number 426 player in the nation. Pretty big commitment. It's a guy's 6 foot and a half, 303 pounds already, a big, big guy. I don't think putting on weight's going to be an issue for him. What is UNC getting with Clyde Pender?
Well, he's not the biggest guy, as you mentioned. He's kind of like your traditional sort of nose guard guy, who's just this a powerful bowling ball. He's so explosive, but he's a tiny guy, but he's wide body, or short guy, I should say.
You're saying tiny, yeah. He's only 6 foot, but he's 303 pounds. He's a
yes,
big dude.
So he's almost as
stocky.
Yeah, stocky, but he's almost as tall as he is, or he's almost as wide as he is tall. So, but he's explosive, you know. And the weird thing is that, you know, he has these, his legs aren't like huge, like his thighs are, but his legs aren't huge. So he moves around really, really well for that size. I mean, if you didn't know how much he weighed, you would think he weighed less just because of his movement. But he's, you know, very nimble, very explosive. He's actually really good against the pass. Gets to the quarterback very quickly. He has a quick first step. Very good against the run. Also, we'll talk a lot about this more when we do our top five ranking. Or I will, I guess. But yeah, he's a guy that I really like, and I think really that, you know, he's listed at what, 6 foot. He probably is a little bit shorter than that. But he has a ton of ability, and I think just the size kind of scared a lot of schools away.
And yeah, I mean, he's been recruiting heavy for UNC. You're kind of seeing a uptick in communication and tweets from all these commitments as this class comes together. Pender had offers across the board, Virginia Tech, Penn State, Nebraska, Minnesota, Louisville, Iowa State, Illinois. So definitely some Power 5 offers along with a bunch of non-Power 5, Pittsburgh, Arizona State. So I think watching this tape, we'll talk about more, but a good pickup. And, you know, anytime you can get these big defensive tackles, you take them. Do you know how many more, this kind of leads into our top five, how many more defensive linemen, that UNC will take?
Well, right now, if my calculations are correct, with UNC what has four? Am I right on that?
One, two, three.
Yes, four. With Murphy is four.
Five with Murphy.
No, Rucker is a linebacker.
Okay, so you're counting Rutgers, and you're counting Beatty as a defensive end, Rutgers linebacker. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so four. So I think we're looking at probably like two more spots, to be honest. And that's a lot. And I don't think the staff wanted to go that high with the defensive linemen, but with the guys you have left, you have to. You have to have room for Desmond Evans. You have to have room for Kedrick Bigley-Jones. You have to have room for some of these other guys.
Yeah, Tonka Hemingway, Joe Moore, Braden Swenson, Jacoby Cohen, all those guys are kind of on the target list here. Who knows?
A lot of those guys you mentioned are four stars. And UNC, yeah. I can tell you, people think I'm crazy on the message board, but UNC is going to pass up on some four stars because they just don't have the room.
I've said it before, you got to take as many defensive tackles, in linemen, because a couple always seem to never pan out. They won't make it. They won't even make it to campus, or after a year or two, they transfer, or something happens academically where they don't make it in. So, God, you got to load up on those guys, because it's so hard to find guys who can move who are 6'4", 250 and plus.
I agree. Six, we're talking about six now.
Yeah.
Six is a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Before we get to our top five, which looks at the defensive linemen and ranks them, I wanted to – we talked about this before we recorded. You were catching a lot of heat on the South Carolina message boards for your analysis – I guess your predictions for Miles Murphy. Do you want to have anything to say to the haters over there at the Big Spur?
You know,
They're doubting you all the whole time, because you kind of predicted him there in a couple scoops, right?
Yes, I predicted him – long before anybody else did. I guess I am tooting my own horn.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to say a whole lot. I did have some thoughts and some plans on a tweet that I was going to send out last night. I thought better of it, just because I feel like my fear is if I were to put something like that out, it would make the guys at the Big Spur go, look bad. I know those guys over there, and those guys do an unbelievable job, and even the guys at the rival site on the South Carolina rival site, they do a really good job, and I don't want to make them look bad. I feel like anything I post will shine bad light on them, but the thing that I guess drove me nuts a little bit was just some of these South Carolina fans acted like I just started covering recruiting like last week.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be boastful or anything, but I've been doing this for 15 freaking years,
Yeah.
So, and it was just some of the, and I go on those boards to kind of, I don't read the posters. I read what, those guys over there, like Tony, are reporting, to kind of just see what they're, and I talked to Tony on the phone and everything like that, but I also want to kind of see what he's kind of putting out there. But I was getting a whole lot of messages from people sending me, oh, look at this. And there, I think there definitely was a thread on Inside Carolina that had a lot of copy and paste from some of the posters on there and things that they were saying and ripping me and everything. I mean, to be honest, I like to be ripped, because I think if you think about it, I mean, people don't make fun of people who don't matter to them, So I like it in that aspect. I just was kind of stunned by some of the people who like just literally acted like I haven't been doing this a long time,
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What was your take? I mean, you know me, Ross, and you know how some of these fans can be.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to message board. People are crazy. I mean, they pay our bills, but You just go on any message board and it's just a, like you can say whatever you want with no repercussions. When we post on there, you know, it's our full name.
Yes.
And we're kind of representing a company, so we have to be careful, but people go on there and say and believe what they want to believe. And it's just message board. It's a interesting subculture of America and American sports. And I think that South Carolina was in a really good spot for Miles Murphy. And they thought they're going to get him, and so they didn't want to believe what you were posting. And I think obviously they were in it. I think the staff was telling the insiders there that they were in a good spot as well. So there was different conflicting reports, and I think Miles was probably telling positive things to both sides. And so one side ended up disappointed.
Yeah, and I had a lot of conversations with Tony and Hale over at the Big Spur. And we compared notes and everything like that. And it was everything. There was definitely no like animosity whatsoever. Tony's like, man, this is what you're hearing. He's like, that completely contradicts what we're hearing. So, I mean, there was definitely some doubt in my mind, but really probably a few days before the announcement that I got some word from people close to Dudley High School. And a lot of people close to Dudley High School that it's North Carolina. And that's when I felt super confident. North Carolina has felt confident for a very long time, probably 2 months to be completely honest. Even though the tide didn't start to turn until that official visit. So it's just interesting with all this background stuff for sure.
Okay. Give you a little spot there to get on your soapbox. Love it. Okay,
I'm glad it's towards the end of the podcast so that hopefully only half of the listeners hear it.
That's right. All right, some of our top five here quickly. We wanted you, the listeners, to rank your top five defensive lineman targets for the 2020 class. UNC already has commitments from A.J. Beatty, Sean Martin, now Miles Murphy, Clyde Pender. And since 24/7 Sports has Rucker as a defensive end. I ranked him as well, but
yeah, it's fine.
Either way. So let's go ahead and read some of the submissions. We'll do two each, Don. Go ahead and read your first one, and then I'll go.
All right. I am going to go with, since there's only six, okay. I'm going to go with John from Charleston, who always, he's like clockwork here. Number one, Dez Evans. Number two, Miles Murphy. Number three, Kedrick Bigley-Jones. Number four, Antoine Powell. And a tie at number five with Tonka Hemingway and Clyde Pender.
Okay, cool. I'll go Paul from Morganton. He has Dez Evans, one, so game changer and in-state leading prospect. Two, Miles Murphy, top in-state prospect, could be big time. Three, Kedrick Bigley-Jones, in-state star from the Target area. Four, Jacoby Cohen, in-state star from Target School, and five, Joe Moore, a high-ranked kid that's a UNC target.
All right, I'm going to go with another regular who submits every single week, it seems like, is Dale from Waxhaw. Number one, Dez Evans. Number two, Miles Murphy. Number three, Joe Moore. Number four, Kedrick Bigley-Jones. And number five, A.J. Beatty.
Okay, I'll go Garrett from Ocean Isle Beach.
I was hoping you were going to do the one below Garrett.
Okay. Lock?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll do him. Sorry, Garrett.
From Parch. Oh, just read Garrett. Do both of them then.
I'll do Garrett and I'll do the other guy. All right. Garrett has Evans 1, Murphy 2, Powell 3, Kedrick Bingley-Jones 4, and Martin 5. And then the guy below him, Locke from Parts Unknown. He's from Greensboro, though.
He says Is Parts he? Unknown. How do you know he's from Greensboro?
Well, from his second answer, he says, I'm from Greensboro.
I didn't even read that. Well, so I put Parts Unknown. He sent it in, and I said, hey, where are you from? And he never responded to me, so that's why I put Parts Unknown.
Locke, number one.
It sounds mysterious, doesn't it?
Yeah, like Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, from Parts Unknown.
All right, number one, Dez Evans, North Carolina kid, ceiling is a roof on potential. Two, Miles Murphy. I'm from Greensboro, so I'll give him the slight edge over other talented players. Three, Tonka Hemingway. Feel like we need to sign someone who can play nose guard. Not sure others on a recruiting board can do so. 4, Sean Martin, raw physical skills, lots of potential. 5, Kamen Rucker, seems very twitchy. Looks like someone who can play the hybrid defensive end linebacker role. Great analysis there from Locke. Okay, let's dive in. I'll start. And I mean, you're the analysis guy. I spent 2 weeks watching tape, pulling up different huddle highlights. And one thing I noticed was all the every ad before the huddle highlights was like anti-vaping ads. And it was bizarre. Everyone, I guess they're trying to get to the youth of America with that. But so if you want to watch the highlights, I would just go to Huddle or go to the 24/7 Sports profile page. You can watch them there. Sometimes Huddle is a little bit easier. Of course, we want you to visit 24/7
Sports. Well, Miles Murphy didn't have a Huddle.
You had to go to YouTube. And there's another
Miles Murphy
2020 defensive tackle named Miles Murphy. He's committed to Clemson, right?
Yeah, and he's a 4-star also. Yeah, things got confusing for a while there. Yep.
Make sure you're getting the right Miles Murphy there. Okay, my number 5 guy is Tonka Hemingway. Big guy, like one of our listeners said. I think he can play the inside defensive tackle position, has that twitch, and I liked his tape, his ability to chase the ball, and really clog the holes there on the run game.
All right, so my top 4 I feel like is solid, and then my 5, my 5th guy, it was so difficult. I liked Sean Martin, Jacoby Cowan, Joe Moore, but I went with Clyde Pinder. I talked a lot about him earlier, you know, stocky guy, as Ross likes to put it, a lot of energy, a lot of explosiveness, great personality, definitely a playmaker, definitely a guy you could underestimate.
Good stuff. My number 4 is Kamen Rucker. Don thinks he might end up being a linebacker with the staff wants to play him as, but his explosiveness off the edge was incredible. It stood out on tape. You're watching these guys' best highlights. You're seeing the best moments of their games, but, you know, really quick, really fast. I think he could play that hybrid position and be a linebacker, but definitely come down onto the line and be a stand-up player. His highlights stood out to me. So Kamen Rucker at number 4.
All right, I didn't include Rucker just because of the linebacker thing, and I did last podcast, I did mention him as the D lineman, so if people who ranked him, including Ross, that's fine. I just didn't want to include him. But so my number 4 was Kedrick Bingley-Jones. Great size, good at work ethic. Very similar to Miles Murphy in that I think he's a guy who plays defensive end now, but probably would move inside in a 4-3, but North Carolina will play that 4-I position, strong against the run, but also a guy who's going to make a lot of sacks on passing downs.
Yeah, I did not have KBJ in my top 5. His tape didn't stand out to me, but he was right outside for me. All right, number 3, Sean Martin. I hadn't watched his tape before I started doing this list, and you know, he's super long. He kind of reminded me a little bit of Dez Evans, you know, really long guy. He's going to be an edge rusher, get some weight on him. He's quick, he's fast, he can chase down the ball carrier, and just as a pass rusher, you know, he kind of has everything you need from a raw physicality standpoint.
All right, my number 3 is a guy that I love his film, and I know he has since committed to Florida, but Antoine Powell, I mean, I just love his burst, the way he uses his hands, his flexibility is unbelievable, especially when he comes, he runs that arc, and his ability to kind of just avoid the offensive lineman. I mean, I just love him. He's a guy who I think is going to do unbelievable things at Florida.
Good stuff. I mean, is he really a UNC target still?
Well, we listed him last week, but when I was doing these rankings, I considered him, and I mean, and I just really loved his film so much, but he was a UNC target up until I think a week ago.
True. Okay. Number 2 for me, I have Clyde Pinder. I love this tape. Huge guy, really disrupts things in the middle. He can't play that nose tackle position, but like you mentioned earlier, you know, really quick feet, explosive off the snap. And I think he has great potential, in that position there. It reminds me kind of what Aaron Crawford can do and will do this season.
All right, my number 2 is Miles Murphy. We talked about him ad nauseum earlier in the podcast, so I won't go any longer than that. Number two, Miles Murphy.
Great. I don't have Miles Murphy in my top five. He didn't stand out to me on tape. First of all, it's kind of hard to find his tape. So yeah. That knocked him down a few points. And, you know, he played at Southwest for 2 years, and so you haven't seen him in playing for Dudley. So I'm interested to see what he can do playing for the Dudley Panthers. All right, number one, Dez Evans. You know, I actually hadn't really watched much of his tape, as recruiting isn't my main job. But he, you know, quick, fast, super long, athletic, good bend, good flexibility. I watched one tape. It was one-on-ones at a camp, and he was talking a lot of junk and getting in a fight with an offensive lineman. So you like to see that little aggression there. He always wears that hooded sweatshirt too. But Dez Evans is my number one guy.
My number one guy is Dez Evans. And I think the that jacket just kind of says it all. I mean, you have to be a pretty badass to wear that jacket and that hoodie and come into a camp setting and do what you do. You know, he has all the tools. I mean, everything you imagine, length, speed, explosiveness, athleticism, agility, and everything you want in a defensive end, he has it. He's slowly starting to put it all together. He really has. I mean, he's one of those interesting recruits that we have known about him since his freshman year. So we've been able to watch him progress, and it's been pretty impressive because he's filled out. You know, at first he was just a skinny, long, athletic, awkward guy, but he's really kind of filled out and developed some coordination. You can see some flashes of his potential in his play and his ability to get to the quarterback, his ability to pursue the backside, his ability to tackle running backs, to ward off blockers, all that sort of stuff. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. I think everybody had him number one, so it's not a huge surprise. What's our next top five? Because we haven't introduced that, have we?
Yeah, for sure. For next week, the top five, we decided we're going to do more of a fun one. We're going to do your top five summer activities. And I think we'll get a lot of different answers for this. I think with some of these football-based ones, we get a lot of repeats. But I'm interested to see our listenership, the top five summer activities. And you can take us anywhere you want. I guess there's limitless possibilities for things you and your family and you like to do in the summer.
Yes. And please, we need more submissions. I knew that this was going to be a down submission week because of the fact that there was, you know, 2 weeks in between our podcasts and a lot of people going on holidays and you have our vacation and then there's the 4th of July holiday and everything like that. But six submissions is unacceptable, guys. Let's get the submissions in. All right. And where is Michelle at? Where's Michelle? No submission this week. You know, it's disappointing. It is.
And this is a good topic, a good chance to get involved. All right. That's it for us. We'll be back next week. We appreciate you listening to the Inside Carolina podcast presented to you by Johnny T-Shirt.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.